Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. Scripture quotations marked AMP, taken from the Amplified Bible, copyright 2015 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, www.lockman.org. We are currently recording services in accordance with provincial lockdown regulations. If you would like to contribute a scripture reading, prayer, or communion thoughts, please send a message through Facebook or an email to adam.sandiford@beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca. This week's video is titled The Body of Christ. Thank you to Kristen, Don, and Paul for being involved. The scripture reading is Ephesians 4, 1-6, and I'll be reading from the Amplified Bible. So I, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, that is, to live a life that exhibits godly character, moral courage, personal integrity, and mature behavior, a life that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation. With all humility, forsaking self-righteousness, and gentleness, maintaining self-control. With patience, bearing with one another in unselfish love. Make every effort to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace, each individual working together to make the whole successful. There is one body of believers and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when called to salvation, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is sovereign over all and working through all and living in all.
Good morning. It is so good to be here. We've just had a beautiful start to the day. That sunshine just makes us feel so good about that cold. At least we've got the sunshine to look forward to. Before I start with the announcements, I want to read you a little devotion that I read this morning. And it is very similar to what we just heard in the song about the Spirit coming down and being with us. Have you ever flown in a plane in the middle of a storm? I have. Cups spilled, overhead compartments burst open, and people screamed all around me. I've never been one to be afraid of flying, but in those times, even the stoutest among us buckled up and paid attention. The story is told of a flight that hit some unusual turbulence, tossing the airplane side to side in strong gusts of wind. Clouds looked more like coal. Lightning hit nearby, and eerie silence settled over the passengers in between their shrieks and screams. No one felt safe, except for one small child. He sat there, preoccupied with his notebook and pen, drawing a picture of himself climbing a tree on a sun-filled day. To look at him, you would never have guessed he was on a plane in the middle of a storm. A passenger nearby noticed him and wondered how he could feel so calm. So she asked the young boy, "Aren't you afraid?" He looked up from the paper for a moment and smiled and said, "No." "Why not?" the lady prodded, fingers gripping her seat. "Because my dad is the pilot," he answered matter-of-factly, and then returned to his drawing. So amid the storm that we've got going on in our lives and around the world and the cold that has really harmed and hurt an awful lot of people down in the southern parts of the states, we're not alone. We're not alone. We can rest assured that we have him beside us. So let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are so good. We are humbled by the love that you show us, the forgiveness, the all-knowing ability to plan our lives before we see each step in front of us. We ask you that our worship here today would be in praise of you, and that we would please you, and that everything that we do is in honor of you. And we ask for your comfort and for help and for healing and for warmth to return to the areas where we have family and friends and strangers, everybody struggling. And we just ask that those that can help will be helping, and that others may see your love through them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I was just thinking, sitting in the pew this morning, and as the words were shared with us today, just how welcome we are, that God continually welcomes us to himself. So today, as we gather, and for those of you who will be watching this, God welcomes you. Jesus welcomes you. And the Holy Spirit welcomes you. That there isn't a moment in our day where God is not with us, loving us, pouring himself out into our lives. And I want to spend just a couple of minutes today talking about the uniqueness of our own bodies, the uniqueness of the body of Christ. And it's interesting that Jesus could have called the church anything he wanted to call it, but he calls it the body. The church and our individual bodies are uniquely connected. Scripture reminds us that we are the body of Christ. And you may remember these words as Paul writes it in Ephesians 1. God placed all things under Christ's feet and made him head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills everything in every way. We are so uniquely connected to the spiritual body of Christ and the physical body of Christ. And it's interesting to think that after Jesus was raised from the dead and eventually went to heaven, that we forget about the physical part of Jesus. And the physical part of Jesus is very, very unique because we're physical. Jesus was physical and spiritual. We're physical and spiritual. Jesus was not a ghost. He was not an apparition. And yet on occasion, his body could just show up wherever God wanted his body to show up. Just a unique body of Christ. And we are so connected to this body of Christ, which is called the church. Think with me for just a minute. Jesus was born in a body. Now, Scripture reminds us that Jesus was with God from the very beginning. And then when God sends Jesus to the world, he was born in a body. And we're going to look at some scriptures today, later in the book of Colossians, where Jesus made all things. And yet he comes to the earth born in a body. Jesus lived in a body. Jesus died in a body. He was raised to life in a body. He ascended into heaven in a physical body. And he's going to return one day in a physical body, because that's what he told his disciples. As you see me leave, I'm going to come back in the same way. God placed all things under Christ's feet and made him head over everything for the church, which is his body. And when John writes in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, he writes it in a unique, querious kind of way, where he says, "Dear friends, we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him." We are so connected to him in an amazing way. Not a ghostly apparition, but rather new bodies, and eventually God himself coming to live with us. Now, how many of us remember that we've always been told that when we die, we go to be in heaven, and that's kind of it? But that's not what Paul talks about. It's not what John talks about. It certainly wasn't what Jesus talked about. It's not what Isaiah talked about. It's not what Jeremiah talked about. That our physical bodies are unique and amazing, not an apparition. And when John writes these words in the Revelation, he says this: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." And then in verse 3, he says this: "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people." What? What? I always thought our dwelling place is going to be with him somewhere. But John says, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and God will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And God said, I am making everything new," which brings us back right to the very beginning in Genesis, when God begins to make. And then at the end of the book, God is going to continue to make. I am making everything new. It's powerful, and what a great thing that we can look forward to. Throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament alike, we hear these words. Isaiah, especially in other places, and Jesus talked about these things too. But how many times in Scripture have we heard these words? The renewal of all things. The redemption of all things. The restoration of all things. The reconciliation of all things, the recreation of all things. And all of this is in bodily form. We will not be ghosts, but we'll be given a new body. Uniquely, Paul calls the church the body of Christ. Have you ever connected those two thoughts? We are the body of Christ, and one day we're all going to receive new bodies. Recreation, reconciliation, redemption, renewal, refreshing. Not ghosts, but a new body in Christ. And Paul calls the church the body of Christ. So if we ever get bored with church, we need to think about what the church is all about. The church is the body of Christ, and each one of us is part of it. And we belong to God, past, present, and the future, in all ways and in all things. It's almost too much to comprehend that God's recreation is going to happen. Now, we happen to live in a time right now of a worldwide pandemic, and it's really stressing a lot of people. There's a lot of pain. There are a lot of relationships that are in struggle. But with just these thoughts today, it's amazing to me to think about how connected we are with God. No matter what happens, it's going to be okay. And I know that may not come across very well to people who are hurting and suffering. And we all suffer in many ways, and some people are really hurting and really suffering, physically, emotionally, spiritually, bodily form. It's very, very difficult. But maybe some of the things that we've said so far today will be somewhat helpful in understanding that we belong to something that is eternal, but not so spiritual that we can't connect to it. It's this emotional, physical, spiritual part that all comes together belonging to the church, which is called the body of Christ. Paul is really unique in his writings, talking about this. And maybe you've heard these scriptures before, but I love how Paul puts it together, this uniformity of the body of Christ. So we think of Christ's physical body. We think of Christ's spiritual body. We think of our own bodies, and we think the fact that we belong to the body of Christ and we belong to one another. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's really struggling to get this point across to these people in Ephesus. And here's what he says. I'm going to start reading in verse 1 of Ephesians 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then he says this, there is one body. Okay, now we stop. If somebody had never read the Bible before, they would say, what are you talking about? There's one body. We all got bodies. Everybody's got a body. In Christ's mind, Paul is saying, there is one body, the church. God placed all things under Christ's feet. All things under Christ's feet. And made him head over everything for the church. And so he says there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, who is through all and in all. Do we see how connected we are to God and each other? Not just now, but also in the future, that God welcomes us to himself. So I was thinking about all of this, and you go back to when Jesus is talking to his disciples. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 16, these are familiar words, but I never really connected with what we just read, what Paul wrote, and what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, where he begins to tell his disciples that he's going to die. And they just cannot comprehend such a thing. And I'm going to start reading in around verse 13, where Peter's confession to Christ says this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah. But what about you? Who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Peter said. And he says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by humankind, but by my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, and I think he means on the very statement that he's making that Christ is the head, I will build my church, the body of Christ. And so when Jesus begins to tell his disciples that here's what's going to happen to the Son of Man, he's going to be arrested, he's going to be abused, he's going to be nailed to a cross, he's going to die, they cannot comprehend it at all. But the uniqueness of the body of Christ is he shows us that Jesus lived in a body, died in a body, came back to life in a body, ascends in a body to heaven, and will come back again in a body. And that's a demonstration of the body of Christ, the church, and our own unique individual bodies. And I don't know about you, but I've never really thought about this. I think of the church being the body of Christ, which it is. I sometimes think about what's wrong with my own body, which is probably lots of things, but I never really connected both things. Christ is the head of the church who had a body. And our bodies are uniquely made. And we are living representatives of the body of Christ. And everyone is welcome to be part of this great kingdom of God's unique understanding. So in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20, as we've just read, he talks about this, and they're overwhelmed with what's being said, trying in some way to comprehend it. And then as time goes on, many of those disciples, of course, understood what all took place. And then later, Paul talks about this uniformity of the church, one body and one spirit, just as we were called to one hope when we were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in all. This uniqueness, this family of God that everyone is welcome to partake in. And then another scripture, as Paul writes, is in the book of Colossians. And this is really an incredible passage of scripture. For me, anyway, I have to read this and reread it and reread it and reread it because it's powerful, this connection between the body of Christ, Paul's unique individual body, our own bodies, and what it all means. And so in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15, and this is... If you're kind of tired today, you're going to have to read this over several times because it's really a powerful passage. Here's what he says. That Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. Stop. Ephesians 1. God placed all things under Christ's feet and made him head over everything for the church, which is his body. And because of his body, he's the head of the body of the church and the head of our bodies, uniquely made. The church is uniquely made. You and I are uniquely made. And there is this incredible connection, and I read again, that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. All things created in heaven and on earth, things that are visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. We were created by him and for him. Our loved ones were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him everything holds together. All things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ. You just heard my head explode. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself, guess what he says? All things. To reconcile to himself all things, things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. If we ever take the church too lightly, we have misunderstood the church. It is God's kids, us, no matter how old we are. We are the family of God in Christ Jesus. And so Paul, just beautifully written, God was pleased to welcome us to his kingdom. It's a wonderful scripture welcoming all of us to come to him. And the church is expressed in so many beautiful and unique ways. And I don't know what your experience has been being part of a church. And I just want to spend a couple of minutes talking about how I ever started in this thing called preaching. Back in 1978, I went to a school of biblical studies, kind of an offshoot of what was then called Sunset School of Preaching, and it was in Troy, Ohio. And there was a church in Portland, Indiana, which is about an hour's drive from Troy, Ohio. Lovely group of people. Wonderful. Good people. It was a church of about 120 people, and they didn't have a minister, and I certainly wasn't a full-time minister at all. I was young, I was green, I was wet behind the ears and everything else, but I was in school all week, and I got to know the scriptures a lot more, and so I had lots of material to come and preach, and they were just so welcoming to a Canadian, and I traveled about an hour to this wonderful church in Portland, Indiana. And to this day, I can still feel it in my own body, this welcome that was beyond welcome. It was people who invited me into their lives. They didn't know me, but they welcomed me into their church, into their homes, into their lives. And there were two elders in the church, and I'd never heard of this before. It was a father and son, both elders. Dr. Homer Smith, who was a professor in one of the universities but had retired at that time, and his son, Paul Smith, who was a pilot. Wonderful people. And I say all this to say, what I've said most today is theological. But when you take the theology of the Apostle Paul's words and put it into practice with live flesh and blood and relationships, it is a unique understanding of the church. And even though I was only there for a year or two, I traveled back, usually every year, for several years, because I would do someone's funeral. Homer Smith, Paul Smith, Mary Ellen Smith, no relation, and other people who were incredible, Joe and Delee Bush, and I could name and name and name. And as I'm saying this, I'm hoping that you're thinking about the people in your lives who have helped you, brought you closer to the Lord, and have passed. And even though they've passed, you can still see them, you can still hear them, you can still feel them. You're so connected to them because that love never stops. And that's how God feels about us. We are his family. And we belong to him. And we belong to each other. It's not just theological. And Jesus said he's going to be coming back. He's going to renew, restore, recreate, and revive all things. And we're going to be part of it. So now I don't feel so sad when I think about those people who I've loved all my life. And as I'm saying this, I hope that you're thinking about the people in your lives who've helped you, encouraged you in the faith, love, that we're going to be together again. We're going to see each other again. It's not the end. That one day, all of us will come together as one. And even here in this church, people whom we have loved and will always love, who've passed, we're going to be together again. It's going to be a wonderful occasion. We can all share in Christ Jesus. So may I conclude with the words of Paul and Jesus, who say it in very similar ways. That God placed all things under Christ's feet and made him head over everything for the church, which is his body. And it's our body too. Amen.
Good to be with you all today. Today I would like to gather around the Lord's table and look at Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Did anyone remember as a kid the nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty? Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty falls off the wall. Humpty Dumpty breaks apart. And then all the king's horses and men come and can't put Humpty Dumpty back together. Now, okay, all the king's men putting Humpty Dumpty, the horses. I never understood that part. How are the horses helping put Humpty Dumpty back together? It does not seem to be, anyway, regardless of the nursery rhyme, I'll write a sternly worded letter to whoever organizes those things. Humpty Dumpty is usually in the picture books. What does this Humpty Dumpty look like, usually? An egg. And I think the reason for that is an egg is a unique thing that once it breaks apart, you can't put it back together again. Have you ever tried to do that in life? It just won't, the little shards, they won't come back. You can't glue them back together. And even if you could, how do you put the yolk and the everything back inside? It's just not going to work. I think Humpty Dumpty is the idea that the Apostle Paul is getting at in Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. At some point in our lives, we've all been Humpty Dumpty. We've all fallen off the wall, shattered on the ground, and it is impossible to put us back together again. The Apostle Paul here describes a life that is lost. And just like that Humpty Dumpty that is impossible to be put back together again, we were all there at some point, whether publicly or privately, whether it was socially acceptable or not, we were all dead, lost to sins. But, verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So even though we were Humpty Dumpty, shattered, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put us back together again. Again, the horses, they have hooves. How are you supposed, anyway, it doesn't make sense to me. We were unable to be put back together again, but God does. God can do the impossible. He can put the broken shards of our lives back together. But more than that, he made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace we have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. More than just putting our lives back together, he raises us up. He doesn't just put us back together and put us back up on the wall. He puts us back together with more than we started with. Before, we were humans. We were humans here. We weren't in a special category. But now, we've been raised up with Christ in the heavenly realms, seated with God in Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And again, God fixes us, restores us, raises us up with him in the heavenly realms. But we actually have a job to do now. We have our good works that God has prepared for us to do. We've been created in Christ Jesus to do these good works, and God has prepared in advance for us to do. Doing good works for a Christian isn't an add-on. It is part of our DNA, as part of our very salvation. This is the state of life that we have in Christ. From brokenness that is irreparable to one of honor and status by God's side, where we act out our salvation as God has prepared and equipped us to do. Notice in this text how many times Christ is mentioned. Made us alive with Christ. God raised us up with Christ. We sit in the heavenly realms with Christ. The richness of his grace is expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ. The main theme through this text is over and over again, it is Christ, through Christ, in Christ, with Christ, by Christ, all of this happens to us. So today, we celebrate what Christ has done for us. Without Christ, we would be that broken egg on the sidewalk. But instead, with Christ, we are raised with him at God's side, doing the good works that God has created for us to do. We remember Christ's sacrifice, but we also celebrate in his resurrection. And this today, I would like to challenge us, I think as Don has also challenged us to be his body, also challenge us to be a people who have been raised by Christ. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for all you've given us and all you've blessed us with. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your word that gives us so much insight into who you are, into who we are. We thank you that your son has been revealed to us, that his blood was shed for us, and that he was then raised for us. Help us, Lord, to be a people who remember well, and help us to be a people who live that reality in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Paul and Don, for your words today, helping us to remind us who we are and who we belong to. And that I'm staking my claim on. As we go to God in prayer, let's think about all the things that we are grateful for right now and all those that we are worried about, that we think about, that we know that are struggling. Let's keep them on our minds as we pray to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. We are so grateful that we belong to you, that we belong to the family of Christ. Thank you for revealing your unconditional love to us throughout all the things you do for us. And as we go about the rest of the week, open our eyes that we can see the wondrous love that you give us throughout the world. Restore us, help us to do good works, and help us to focus on you. We pray this in your name, Jesus, amen.
Because of the provincial lockdown, in-person services are canceled until further notice. Please check our Facebook page for the most current updates. You can learn more about the congregation at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.